Shout out to No Losses, man. I fucking appreciate you. Where are we located? What's the address? How do people find you?
Yeah, if you look us up on Google, you just type in No Losses Productions. They'll take you right to us. We're located downtown Whippy, 151 Brock Street North. You can't miss us. We have a big wolf on the sign. We used to be located just down the alleyway, so if you can find our old studio, you can find it.
No Losses, Versatile Vigilante. Let's fucking get it. Shout out, composed by Kyle.
Okay, okay, okay. Versatile Vigilante, Young Vince, Uncle Vinny. We're in the fucking spot right now, man. The No Losses headquarters with the man himself, Mr. No Losses.
I appreciate you coming by, bro.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know
where
we are. If you don't know where we are, you got to come check us out. We're located downtown Whippy, 151 Brock Street. Best studio in the East. Soon to be taking over the whole Ontario.
Very, very well said, man. This is my first time coming here. We've been talking for a while. I've seen you building the studio. So fucking sick to see almost a finished product.
Yeah, congratulations, man.
You got one room left.
One room left to finish. I've been slacking. I can't lie. The last month, I thought I was going to get it done, and I've just been in my head doing editing, doing other things. It's like, let me just take a break from construction. I felt like I've been doing it so long. Like, we got the place last April. Didn't even expect to get it. Like, we low-key got kicked out of our old spot because, well, it's a studio. Everyone kind of knows what happens in studios.
For sure. So
we had a car store next to us. They were good at first, but once they found out that our times are different and our customers aren't really going to be their customers, they kind of moved a little different energy. And then at the end of the lease, the landlord told us that the other businesses weren't happy with our clientele being there type shit.
Interesting.
So people inside, outside, you know, doing their thing, right? But low-key, we got the blessing out of it because we moved right across the street, got a bigger, better facility, and now we kind of, no one can tell us what to do.
Love that, man. You got, you got a great thing going on. We were talking off camera. You have, like, potential for a community hub type thing. We got the homies in the background today. You got
always
people
got the
popping
homies
in
the background. Come on, that's what we do it for. Like, I didn't do music for me. I didn't start this for me. I started for the homies. Started for the community. Like, how it actually started was like, I got in a car accident, and one of my homies were just like, you know, going through life. He was trying to figure out what he wanted from life, what he wanted from himself, and he's like, bro, I feel like music is gonna help me find myself. I was like, say less. Like, if we get time, we'll do it. And then, like I said, I got in a car accident, built the home studio. He started going crazy. Like, the dedication from him and the engineer, D. Lytle, was just absolutely crazy. Like, every Friday for 2 years straight, they probably missed four, maybe eight Fridays max. And, like, every Friday, like, everybody even knew, like, yo, Los is out at the time. Like, he's gone for the night. Like, they're working. And then eventually we connected with Moss and Wavy and Millie and their whole crowd. And, like, they started coming around. And they started bringing their homies around. I was like, bro, I can't have people coming in my house using my bathroom. Like, nah. Like, people can't know where I'm living. Like, nah.
Huge
especially
facts.
In the music scene. So then we just got that one room location and it started going crazy. But it was wild.
That's so sick, bro. So you were shooting videos for the homies, basically?
Well, it started off, like, with D. He was my one homie that wanted to make music. We started making music and people started taking traction and, like, we never even thought about music videos. Like, we just made a studio. We're just trying to help him find, like, what he wanted from life. And then it grew to something bigger. And then eventually we noticed a void. We have an engineer. We have an artist. We don't have a cameraman. And then I knew some people through the grapevine, did some research, found some cameras I liked, picked it up, tried to shoot a video. Super intimidating. Probably gave up for, like, a year.
Okay.
And then Moss came back around, started making his music. I just picked up my camera, like, trying to learn it some more because, like, it wasn't intimidating. I'm literally just in the studio. I'm trying to learn how to use it. And he's like, bro, you have that? Let's shoot a video. I'm like, all right, why not?
Fuck.
And then it's just come from there. It just kept going.
You started out of necessity.
Yeah, really. Like, just trying to do something that I noticed that was lacking in the area. And, like, everyone was going to Toronto to do everything. And I was like, half the people that were from Toronto aren't actually from Toronto. So let's put on for the East and let people be proud to say, no, I'm not from Toronto, I'm from Durham, or I'm from the East. Like,
real
there's
shit.
A lot of potential out here. And, like, a lot of people don't know there's a lot of R&B out here too. Like, everyone thinks it's just rap and this and that, but nah, like, there's, like, a lot of R&B people that blow up out here, like Durham.
I think Durham is the hub for music, at least in the city right now, man. I talked to Moss about it, talked to the guys here about it. It's amazing to me. Someone from Wetmore, the West End, I didn't know there was a scene like this. So for you to have this spot for all these people to be doing such dope work, it's amazing to see.
Even being from the East, like, we didn't know there was a scene like this because, like I said, everyone was claiming Toronto. But eventually, once people gave them a reason, or, like, there was, like you said, a little bit of community, it just starts to grow because people realize, like, oh, like, there is something out here. Like, I don't have to travel 45 minutes or an hour and a half. So it's actually like crazy to see. And every day it keeps growing. Like sometimes I'll run Instagram ads and just more and more people reach out and I'm like, holy, like there is actually so many people in the East End that actually have potential or actually care about the scene.
You found a market, man.
I'd say a community, like, yeah, like a market for sure, because it is a business at the end of the day. But like I said, it didn't start from being a business.
Right.
It just started from, you know, just everyone's passion or trying to fill a passion.
Love that. And that's usually when the best shit starts, when it's a love, when it's something you want to do.
And yeah, like I'm not even trying to feel like full of ourselves, but like we started what in 2020, and like a lot of huge companies start in their garage or out of their home. It's like, I feel like that's where we started.
Yeah.
Look where we're going. This is what, year 3 or 4? Look at everybody that's already growing, even the artists themselves, engineers. It's like, if you would have looked at them a year ago, they'd be like, bro, I would have not expected to be here today. Even if they're just still making music and finding their own sound, it's like, I would not expect my sound to get like curated this way.
I'm
not even trying to take credit, but I just gave them the options to actually take some of the weight off their shoulders and let them focus on the music. Like once a week, I try to get the young boys in here, like if I can, give them 2-3 hours, like, yo, just do your thing, you know, because they started doing music for the fun of it. But once you actually release that one song and there's pressure on you and everyone's watching you, then it kind of takes the fun away. You're in the studio, you're like, I got 2 hours. How am I going to make a hit? Like, how can I recreate what I made before? Well, I'm sorry, when you made that, there wasn't no pressure.
Right.
There wasn't no, I need to make a hit. You're just in the studio with your homies, just having fun. So I try to bring that back. Like, let's have some fun. Like, yeah, sure, you know, sometimes you need that pressure to get the kick in the ass, but you also got to remember, why'd you start?
It's a great way to look at it, bro. And with that comes so much. Like, you meet people that way, you're putting your time into something positive, dots get connected. I think it's only good.
Sometimes, like, you know, like with the community and business, it's hard balance, because like you want to have the community vibe, but you also want people to respect the business side of it. So it's like that. I find that's been like a hard challenge of it, but when you're learning something new, there's always gonna be challenges.
100%, bro. And I really wanted to talk about that. So when you started with the music and the videos, how long after was the first studio?
Studio was already open, really. Like, I shot my first video with D. We're at the home studio. It was for Green Lights, right? We shot at the gas station. We did a couple scenes. We rented a Tesla. We went to the charging station. That was actually crazy, like, just to see the whole production. Oh, yeah. We went to a parking garage, too. We went to the top. And I told them, like, I've never shot, but I was like, bro, it just seems like, you know, you don't ask for permission. Just start shooting. And if they come shut you down, they shut you down. Well, for some reason, someone walks over to security and says, hey, man, can we shoot here? I was like, don't do that. And they're like, no, you can't. We're like, all right. We had to escort you out. I was like, well, how can we make the best of it? All right, we had 2 cars. I was like, I'm going to sit in the trunk of the first car. D, we had the Tesla, pop the trunk, which is the front of it, sit in that, and then we'll drive down the parking garage, and then they're following us with our lights on. So it's like, you know, it's like, once again, you got to learn to adjust. And it's like, that, like, I thought I could do it, but then once we got to the editing stage, it's like, this is actually really tricky. And that's what kind of kept me down for a bit. But then once we hired other videographers, talking to them, working with them a little closer, like them showing me how to work with the operating systems of like editing and stuff, I was like, no, there's a way.
Hell yeah.
There's a way.
That's fucking awesome. That's a great story too, because that just shows you kind of have to, in a way, you kind of got to be a little crazy to do this shit sometimes, man. Like, yeah, I'm going to sit in the trunk of the Tesla and fucking shoot a video. Let's fucking get it. That's what we're doing.
Right? You got to make the best of it, and you got to adapt, because if you're not going to adapt, the market's always changing. Every business is always changing. You're just going to get left and behind.
100%.
And that was like a proof, like right there. It's like, we could have just called it quits and went to the next scene. We're like, no, how can we still use this? Like, what's the best that we can make out of this scene?
You have an interesting perspective too, because you're on the art side of the shooting the videos, but the business side as well. And I think that statement of let's make the most out of it, it's a good combination of both. Like, we're trying to make a banger, but let's do it efficiently. Let's do it properly.
Yeah, the business side especially comes in clutch, because like just talking to a lot of people, they don't have the same brain or same ideas that I have or same ways to get stuff done. So it's like the business side comes in clutch, and like, learning a lot and listening to a lot of older people helped me like understand business, because coming up, I was always the younger guy in the room.
Okay.
And I would like talk a little bit, but I'd listen more. So I'd always listen to what they said and try to find a way, like, how does this make sense for me? Like, what works for everybody is not going to work for you, but they told you for a reason. So you can use it to your advantage or disadvantage. It's up to you to find it out.
That's great advice.
I just try to listen. Like, I talk, as you can, we're doing an interview, but mainly I just try to listen, because people have been around longer and been doing it longer. They might not have been through the same experiences, but they've probably been through the same problems one way or another. So you can use that as a reference to help you figure out your own problems. You might not do exactly what they've done, but you can always go back on it as a crutch.
Absolutely. Learning from others' mistakes, building your own story.
And don't be scared to make a mistake, because that's the best way I've learned, because you don't want to make it again. Because like, if you're scared to make a mistake, you're probably not going to do as what you want. But if you just do it and you understand you're going to make a mistake, and over time, eventually, you're not going to make the same mistakes, then you're going to learn a lot and go places. But if you just sit there and you're like, yeah, it's not going to be perfect, I'm not going to do it, well, life's not perfect.
Very, very real, man. And that's the value of experience, too. When you do a lot of shit, you make a lot of mistakes, but you've learned from that. You can do it even better. Where'd that No Losses name came from? I feel like it might be related to what you're talking about here.
Well, No Losses actually came from one of our homies. Like, what kind of, like, my homie was passed away, and that put our other homie through a hard part in life. And like, we just thought, it's like, yeah, like, how can we make the best of it? It's like, and we're usually always trying to see like the light at the end of the tunnel. So it's like, there's really no loss if you learn a lesson. So it's like, yeah, we lost him, but he's still here in our heart, so it's not really a loss. And we learned a lot from him being here and him passing. So it's like, there really was no loss. We just learned a lesson, and we got a homie along the way and a bunch of memories. So kind of came from that. Like, the dice were in our original logo. At first, it was a swan, because our homie's nickname was Swan. So we're like, let's try to just keep him alive. But like, the swan only meant so much to us. But with business, you kind of got to make it a little more generic, something that everybody can relate to. Well, I don't know about you, but everyone's played dice before. Everyone, you know, knows the 4, 5, 6 is going to hit.
Absolutely.
So No Losses, you got to have the 4, 5, 6. That's something everybody can relate to. But like, the original logo was kind of closer to like our hearts. So like, we kind of have it in our rooms and stuff like that. But the general merch, it's just the dice.
Very dope, man. And something I've seen with No Losses, I love the branding that you guys do. You put out clothes. I saw the slides by the door there. That's something too, where I'm like, when I first heard of you guys, started hitting you, I'm like, there's so much potential with this. Like, you got the studio, you got the brand. Like, to me, the sky's the limit, man. So with the merch and shit, was that always something you saw as like, okay, this is a big option for us?
I appreciate that, you saying the sky's the limit. That was kind of the goal. But like, the merch, no, it's kind of just like, I saw other people creating fire merch. I was like, okay, that's sick. Like, how can I do my own? And I wasn't really on it. And then eventually it's like, I have the studio. Like you said, you need ways of promoting it. Like, you need to have, people need to think of it in all aspects. Well, if you thought of No Loss at the beginning, it was just a studio. Then eventually we started shooting videos, and then now we have the clothes. So it's like, really, whenever you think of No Losses, you can't just think of it in one little box.
Yep.
So that's kind of why I got to the merch too. And also, it's just like, a lot of people I find, once we opened our first studio, we're kind of like, oh yeah, I go there. Like, everyone's trying to say like they're kind of part of it. So I just made 10 tracksuits. So then all the employees and affiliates, almost all of them, I didn't obviously counterfact for everybody, but like, I try to make it so if you see this tracksuit, you know, it's like, oh no, they're verified.
Like, yeah, it's like handing out a chain.
Yeah, type. It was like, we weren't there yet. I can't get the chains yet. We'll get there in time. But yeah, the tracksuit was just more or less like, you're verified. And then the slides were in the wintertime. People kept coming in, and like, it was a small facility, so there wasn't really a spot where you could wipe your shoes off. So there'd be salt stains everywhere in the first studio. So I was like, how can I get this to a minimum? I was like, summer's going to be sick. I was going to go buy a pair of slides. Like, why not make my own? So I messaged Gallery 223, shout out Gallery. They make most of my merch, amazing quality. Reach out to them, told them the idea. They came back to me with a mock-up not even a week later, and we just ran with it. And then I kept, as you saw at the top, like 10 pairs for the top of the studio. So then when people come in, they leave their shoes off. When it's salty and snowy, they put the slides on and they're comfy. You know, they got the No Losses merch on. And then also I got extra pairs just so then when they see it and they feel how comfortable, like, oh yeah, I need a pair of these for my home.
Facts.
So it was just kind of out of necessity. It wasn't really just like, oh, I want merch. And then that was a Christmas gift, actually.
Great gift.
People always ask me, like, yo, what do you want? I'm like, yo, slap my sticker on something. Slap my name on something. Anything. And like, so my sister every year gets me, if you go to the bathroom, you'll see the towels. And they're embroidered. They say No Losses. She gets me those every year. That was my other sister. She made those. She got a cricket. So like, anything she can think of, she just slaps No Losses on it. Little things like that.
I love like little custom stuff. So when I see this type of shit, I'm like, yes, this is good stuff.
And like, it actually helps because like you said, the marketing is everywhere. You don't think of it as just a studio. It's like, so now when you come in the studio and you see all this stuff, it might just be stuck in your head somewhere. You're like, for, oh no, sure. I might, like, that would look so hard on a shirt or something like that. Like, after they see it so many times, they feel like it's a part of them.
the branding is necessary, man, for any business. And I think sometimes with music, we forget about that. Like, oh, a sick video is awesome, but who made the video? Like, who, you know what I mean? Yeah. You need to know who the people are. So I think you're on point with that really, really well. And something I wanted to ask you, since I've seen your shit, I always viewed this as a big potential for maybe a label. Have you ever thought about something like that, music label?
For sure. Like, we started off, like, I always started off that way. But then, like, eventually you realize a lot more comes with the labels. So I started to, like, the recording studio, production studio. But, yeah, I always want to get back there. Like, the end goal is to be, like, the QC mixed with Lyrical Lemonade. Like, anything you want to do with music, well, when you think of Toronto, no one generally has, or Ontario even, or Canada, no one first comes to mind. It's like, oh, when you go there, you have to go here. It's like when you go to the States, you go to Atlanta, you think, oh, I got to go to QC.
Yep.
You know, you go to New York, you want to go to VaynerMedia. You know, there's certain buildings and certain staples everywhere you go. It's like, I want to do that for Toronto. I want to do that for Durham. It's like when people come to Canada's like, oh, you got to go tap into No Losses Studio. You got to get a video. You got to go get whatever you need done there. Like, they're going to get you done. They're going to get you done right. Like, there's no other place like that. Like, there's no place where you can just go get your beat made. Once your beat's made, you can go record it. Once you record it, you can go shoot the video. Once you shoot the video, all right, we can upload it to our channel. We can run promo. Like, whatever you need to get done, we can do.
That's a fact, man. When you put it that way, it makes so much sense. You're absolutely right. Like, the Cole Bennett has his whole, the Lyrical Lemonade headquarters. You get videos done there. You get all that. I see you filling that need, man.
I'm trying. Like, there's only so much one person can do. And like, you're, like I said, I'm always learning. And I have too many projects on the go, but eventually we'll get there.
Well, you mentioned Cole Bennett. Was that... because he was heavily involved in like that SoundCloud era, and that was when I first started to see, wow, like a scene can be so impactful. And that was kind of what inspired me with my shit. Were you a big fan of that type of era as well?
The SoundCloud era, yeah. To be honest, no, never listened to it once.
Okay, I love
that. I still don't listen to SoundCloud. Like underground music, I was not put onto at all. Did not understand it at all. Like, for me, it was for undeveloped ears until I started seeing the process and start seeing the culture and start being outside with it and just seeing how it impacts people's lives. You know, like, it was actually just crazy. Like, to me, I just didn't get it. Like, but now I do. It's like these kids get an outlet to say how they really feel. Like, they're in their rooms by themselves. Like, they make music. They might cap, let's say, or talk a little outside of their normal life, but like, they get to express themselves. Like, back in the day when you go to a studio, you couldn't really express yourself. You wrote the song and you had to go there and you had to record it. Like, they only had so much film, right?
Yep.
Or whatever they used to record on. Well, now it's like the kids have the power in their hands. So like, I understand it and respect it a lot more being around it, because like, also seeing the output and like how it can change people's lives. I used to just listen to like Detroit rap, like Cali rap, like actual, like, I want to say, like, not lyricism, but like people that actually like cared about what they say and had to have the facts behind it.
Right.
Like, with underground rap, like, I don't want to say, like, as long as it sounds good, that's what matters. But, like, these kids know how to find the cadence and find the pockets and just go crazy. And, like, they don't get judged as much of what they're saying.
That's so fucking real, bro. Cause I find that interesting how you didn't really pay much attention to the underground. Now I feel you're a huge part of the Toronto underground. It's interesting how that works.
Yeah. Like, no, I didn't even know it existed. Like, I can't even lie. Like, obviously you hear a 1-2, like, you know about Josh and all these guys going crazy and like Kato's Eye and stuff, but like, you don't actually know about the culture. Like, the fans actually go crazy. Like, when you can see not even just Moss Wave, but you can see anybody go on stage and like, I watched them make the song and then I see how the crowd reacts. It's like, if you would have gone like a year ago, I would have not believed this. Like, no, the underground scene is actually crazy, and I feel like it can change the city a bit, because with rap, everyone was like, who's the hardest, who has the most drip, who can spend the most in a music video? Well, the underground scene, it's more or less like, who's the most creative? Who can work with people that nobody knows yet? Like, it's not about how much money you spent. It's really right. Just about the art and like knowing the community inside. Like, even like Ethan Corner, he's huge in the underground scene. Same with Lo Siento, No Designer, he's going crazy. Like, I've seen an underground show without each of their clothes on it. Like, it's actually crazy to see how everything like coexist in the underground world compared to like the rap scene. It's like, shout out the rap scene too, but like the underground scene is just everything mixes and everyone's just down to work and everyone's like, we all have the same end goal, so who cares who gets there first? When the rap scene, it's like, I'm the man.
Yes.
It's like, okay, I get it, cool, but like, there's more than just one person here, man. Like, you're not just a top dog. Like, Like, and if you are and you go down, now what? Your whole team's failing. Like, you need a community, you need a circle. So that, let's say there's five of you and one of your homies fall down. Well, there's four others to help him back up. If only one at the top, well, once he's down, you're all drowning. Unless someone's going to pick up the same role. Like, it needs to be a team and everyone needs to, like, help out when they need to.
Super, super real, man. That might be a clip. That was huge facts because you're absolutely right. Like, rap in general is typically very braggadocious. And you're absolutely right. That's cool. But if that ends, that ends. When you have that ecosystem like what you're building here, that's building a legacy, man. That's something that's going to last a long time.
I hope so. I hope this lasts longer than me. Like, let's say, like, even if I, God forbid, I crop out tomorrow, like, I hope someone in here can take the role and just keep going with the mission, because it's not just my mission. It's all of our missions. So I shouldn't even have to be here for everyone to get there. But if I have to take that role while I'm here, I will. But we need other people to do it. I can't do it myself.
Were you always that type of guy, like, willing to put yourself out there, kind of take that lead role?
Yes and no. Like, growing up, I was usually the background guy, and, like, all my other homies were usually the front of the crowd, and I was just kind of sit back lurking. Yeah, I would step up when I needed to, but no, like, I never asked for this role. It kind of just, like, fell upon me. Like, I noticed a void, and I was like, all right, no one's going to do it, I'll do it, because it needs to get done. Not just music, but just in life.
Very real, man. The great way to be, because we need guys like you, bro. Take that first step, take the hits that come with it. Very, very valuable.
A lot of hits, especially building this place. But, you know, if you can't get through the hits, you're not going to be able to survive once the ball keeps rolling.
Real shit, bro. What would you say the main challenge has been since? When, first of all, when did the studio, this location, officially open or kind of get to where we are now?
We had a rough opening in November till December, like 2023. We got in April. Took us about 7 months to renovate. Shout out everyone that helped. There was a huge fuss. Fitz, Versace, Moss, D-Money, my family, Melody. Like, everybody that you probably see in this room today came help. Castro came help a couple times. Yeah, everyone was coming to help.
Shout out to everyone behind, like, the scenes today, too. Guys, shout out Millie, Kyle, D, Castro.
Like, to build the studio, it wasn't my, like, I could not have done it myself. And if I would, we probably would have just opened today. But, yeah, a lot happened. And just, like, with every step forward, it felt like we're taking four steps back, and the hardest part was to not give up. Like, you'd come in today and I'd have a job of mine. I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna get this done. Like, let's say we're framing, I'm gonna get all the framing done today, and then from there we can start playing in the drywall and start getting our stuff. Well, then you run into a bunch of problems. The floor is not level, so everything you built that was level, now you got to adjust. Like, there's just so many unexpected problems along the way that you can't predict that are going to happen, that just keep getting you down, that you just got to keep pushing through, because the bigger picture, because now look where we are today. Like, this is a year later. Like, the Snapchat memories came up on the first, like, we're putting the first wall up. I was like, damn, we're in here now. Like, we're here. Like, we made it through. We didn't give up. Like, it was bigger than just me giving up, because if I would have just gave up, yeah, sure, I failed. But I didn't just fail me. I failed the whole community. It's like, a lot of people didn't think we were going to open. But once we did, they're like, oh, he did it. They did it.
Very fucking real, bro. I said at the beginning of the interview, I was so excited to come out here because I've seen the progress. I've seen the little snippets. We've chatted. And to see where you are now, bro, it's fucking unbelievable. It's something that I'm like, man, this is such a sick resource to have.
It still doesn't feel real some days. Like, some days I come in, I'm like, is this really what we're doing? Like, we got to wake up and, like, do what we want. Like, you want to make a beat today? Go ahead, make a beat. Just make sure the other works on first. Like, you know, like, I always tell the people that are allowed to use facilities, like, you got to make sure that the no loss stuff comes first. If the room's a little mess today, come in and clean it up before the first one here, you know? If there's a mix and master you didn't finish last night for a client, get the work done. Like, always get the work done first, and then you can prioritize your stuff after. You want to record today yourself? You want to make a beat? Go ahead, do whatever you want. But just make sure the work gets done first, because we can't play if we don't work. So
100%, bro. That's again, like, the combining the art and the business. I think a lot of the most successful guys in any field, but definitely music, they're great at the art, but they have that professional side too. And what you're describing, I think, is a good hybrid of that. Let's make some bangers. Let's do it properly.
Yeah, like, in the morning time, I find it's like the work time, like, get everything done. And then, like, after, like, 2 or 3 o'clock, all right, you got everything done. Like, all right, for the rest of the day, if there's no sessions, there's nothing we got to get done. Go in the room, Moss, Wavy, record, checks, Millie, record, Diego, make a beat, you know, like, even homies come in that never made music before. Like, I have one homie that's coming in for, like, the past 2 weeks, never really made a song. He can punch himself in now. I know artists have been coming here for 2 years, they can't punch themselves in.
Love that.
Like, he's literally like, we sit here, he's like, I'm gonna make a mixtape just for the fun of it. I'm like, go ahead, man. Like, as long as you come in, like, he'll help me out when I need to grab stuff from Home Depot and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's like a give and a take. Like, I don't want to say, like, people just come here because then for the paying customers, like, well, why can't I just come there? It's like, no, it's not like that. It's like, everybody puts in their pain. Everyone has their role. It's not just, you know, we're handing out freebies here. Like, obviously, we're a community, but, like, you got to earn your role. Like,
100%.
No one handed me out nothing. So, like, I'll always help out, but you got to kind of earn it because if you won't, someone else will.
No, that's real, man. That's a great way to look at it. You have this environment, make the most out of it. That involves hard work.
Yeah, it's like, you can't just come here to play all the time. It's like, you got to actually put in the pain, because if you're not putting in the pain, you're not going to get no gains.
Facts. That's a bar. That is a bar.
Studio too much.
You're in the studio too much, man. Are we ever going to get a No Losses rap on a Young Bully Castro song or something?
Me and Castro? I don't know. I gotta...
That would be a
banger. I can't lie. I do fuck around some nights in the booth. Like, it is funny. We always have a laugh whenever we get in the booth together. It's hilarious. I could definitely
see Castro
and I huffing on a track, but I feel like he takes it too serious a little bit, and then I'm gonna force me to take it too serious. I'll punch in a couple bars, like, nah, sounds like shit. Let me go back in. This won't get done, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Love that.
Give me some time. Gotta keep up with the young boys. Come on, bro.
100%.
Keep me on my toes.
100%. And shout out Castro again. You guys did the Never Needed Help last year. Yeah, I love that.
We gotta get another video
in
the vault. This guy's been too eager to push out music. He's got to get the quality first before quantity, bro. Come on. It matters what you say. You're young, bro. People are impressionable. You'll get there, though. It's all about the practice. That's why we're here.
Very, very real, man. And you've also got the Desto dubbed.
Ah, shout out Desto. Okay.
Tell the story behind. How the hell did you get your hands on these? And
well, started off, I just found the brand online, like Draco the Ruler, Long Live the Ruler, Long Live the Truth.
Yes.
Come on, man. Long Live the Truth. I saw him wearing all this shit. I was like, that shit is hard as hell. So I just did my research. I found out it was made by a guy named Desto Dub.
Yep.
He's out in California. He makes music too. Got a store on Melrose right beside No Jumper. I started buying their clothes. Just buying it and buying it. And mom's like, yo, that shit's tough. Like, let me wear that in a music video. Let me buy some for music video. Let me get some of that. And I was like, more people keep asking, where you get that? Like, some people thought it was my brand. I'm like, all right, y'all, let me run with this. So then we got connected with Shaq Diesel, Shadow Shaq, been helping us along the way. Probably about a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years. And then he's always going to the States, going to Cali, started taking us with him a couple times. We haven't been to Cali yet, but I knew the last time we went up there, he pulled up to the store. He locked in with Desto, locked in with the general manager and stuff. And he just, like you said, I'm about my business. So I told Shaq, I was like, yo, if you can get them to connect me with them, I want to buy their merch. I want to put it in the studio. I want to sell it. Just like with the local merch.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, you're on that? Say less. A week later, I was in a group chat with Desto and then his, what would it be? His wholesale manager, let's say. So then we're talking, they shoot me the list, I place my order, and then probably about a month later it comes in and starts going crazy. Like, some people weren't ready for the tag because, like, they thought it was my brand, and, like, usually if I have something, it's more economical for right. people. But it was a brand from Cali, you know, you got to pay for duties, you got to pay yes. for shipping. Like, it's cough syrup. Like, if you can afford the syrup, you can afford the drip. That's what I say.
Love
if you can
that.
Afford the double cup, you can afford to put the shit on. The shit costs. But, yeah, so then just started going from there. We got our first order in, probably about halfway done through the orders and sales now, waiting to put in a next one. But I just saw them drop something with Trapstar. It's a brand from London. It was a Trapstar and awful lot of cough syrup collab. It comes out this Friday at 1 p.m. So
okay,
I'm probably going broke then. I'm probably going to be able
studio
broke.
Rates are going up.
Yeah,
after.
Not for real. That dime room's got to open up ASAP just to pay for that clothes.
I love that, man. And you said something interesting. Local brands, you get them. You yeah, sell their stuff for them
at
too.
At the old studio, I did that a bunch. Like, I didn't have no big brands. Like, Moss put me on Simplicity, so I hit up Simplicity. I asked them, hey man, like, what you got around? Like, told them the thing, and then, like, you know, we connected. I probably bought probably like a couple boxes worth of merch, had in the studio. Like, even sometimes I'll pull up to a shoot that I wasn't even on. I was just shooting behind the scenes, and I'll give people merch. I already bought it. I don't care. Help both brands out. Help the people bring some extra clothes to the fit. And then I hooked up with the brand at a Mark, not Mark, I'm sorry, Brampton called Currency.
Mm-hmm.
Started buying their clothes, bringing them out to the shoots. Talk of the Town started making merch. It's a restaurant in Bowmanville. Shout out Talk of the Town.
Dope.
Got their merch, started handing it out. Just anybody that made merch that I fuck with, Trench Baby. Trench Baby, I bought probably the most merch out of all. I don't know what it was. That brand just sunk with me. And Dylan was just like, a good guy. Like, he did good business, always, you know, great communication, understood the point, pull up anywhere we needed a shirt, was a good guy, and like, just been going crazy with the local brands. Like, they've been doing their thing, we've been doing ours, why not work together?
Very real, man. If you got a local brand, keep an eye on no losses.
Tap in. If you got a local brand, oh yeah, the next brand I gotta tap in with is Money Cash's. I didn't even know that was his brand, but I gotta tap in with that. He has got a sick one. I can't remember off the top of my head, I'm not gonna lie.
Born Star.
Yeah, that shit's crazy. I didn't even know that was his when I first found it. Like, yo, this shit's nuts. And like, probably like 6 months later, someone's telling me, yeah, it's Money Cash's. I was like, what? You're telling me the whole time at the old studio I didn't have this stuff in here? You guys are tripping. Nah, I got to reach out to Broski and get that.
Very real, man. I like your versatility. You're willing to do a lot of different things, try a lot of different things out. I think that's when success comes, when you're willing to fucking try. So,
well, you never know what's going to work unless you get outside your comfort zone. If you're stuck in your comfort zone, like, well, there's a saying, if you want things you never had, you got to do things you've never done.
So, very real.
I want a lot of things in life, so I'm going to have to learn to do a lot of different things that I've never done before. So, it's part of it.
100% agree, man. Very, very, very well put. A lot of fucking gems in this interview. I want to ask one question, though. We got some of the homies in here. You've shot videos for all of them. Is there any, like, video shoot story that comes to mind where you, like, favorite, funniest? The Tesla one was very good, but...
That's a good question.
Any behind-the-scenes 1 milli stories?
1 milli? No, I mean, 1 million generally go pretty well. Like, he always knows what he wants. Like, he'll come in, he's like, nah, I wanted this shot, like this, with that. I was like, say less, bro, let's get it done. Like, he's very detail-oriented. He knows what he wants. He doesn't leave anything really to chance. Like, when he's ready to put in that work, Millie always puts in that work. You don't play by his word.
Shout out fucking 1 Millie, man. I'm expecting some bangers this year. You know.
We need to get him back in the booth, though. This guy has a life, you know, like most people.
Yes.
He gets a little carried away, but we got to keep bringing him back in. He always finds his way back. He's always here, bro. You might not see him for a week or two, but he always finds his way back.
Love that,
but
man.
But when he's here, yeah, like I said, he's ready to put in that work. You don't fuck around. Unless it's Billups, then he's serious about the Billups.
Straight to the bag, straight to the Billups.
That's it. Come on.
Love that. So, yo, before we wrap it up, I really enjoy talking to business owners, talking to people that do various things. If someone's young, you know, someone's thinking about starting up a business, starting up a studio, maybe even thinking about picking up a camera, would you have a piece of advice for them?
Yeah, don't be scared to fail. Like, you're going to fail. It's part of the game. Like, that was my biggest thing, is being scared to fail. Like, I wouldn't try things for a week just because I didn't want to fail. And then once I did, I was like, damn, this wasn't like as bad as I built it up in my head. Like, the challenge was way harder in my head than doing it in real life. Like, get out of your head, get in real life, you know, enjoy it, try it, fail, learn, grow, success. It's all part of the game. And if you're scared to fail, you're going to be scared to do anything in life.
Real shit. Just stay home and do nothing.
I would say that, but yeah.
Nah, that's
can't
real
be doing nothing. And if you are, what is teach your own, but yeah, don't be doing nothing, because if you want it in life, there's someone else that's going to work harder than you to get it. So
it's up to you. Absolutely right, bro. Absolutely right. Very, very well said. No losses. I fucking appreciate your time. I appreciate you having me, bro. Very proud of you. Very proud of what you've built. Is there anything you want to plug, promote before we wrap it up? Where do the people find you?
You guys can find me at No Losses, or NOL_SSES. No Losses was taken. I'm trying to get it. Buddy, answer my DMs. I'm trying to buy that handle.
Let's fucking get it, man. We need that.
Shout out the whole STTB, like you've been saying. Shout out D-Money. Shout out anybody from the East End, really. Like,
yes.
Anybody from the East End that's trying to do their own thing and be proud of who they are and not trying to be something they're not, keep doing you.
East End is up, man. East End is up. I'm always excited to see what you guys come out with. I know it's going to be heat, so.
I appreciate you.
Shout out to the East. Appreciate you, fam. Shout out everyone in the back. Shout out to D holding up the light for us. I appreciate you. Shout out. I'm a multifaceted kind of guy. Yes, you got a lighting credit on this interview for sure. Shout out the guys, man. Let's get it.